Good afternoon, everyone, in our radio wave. We have Fish Talk today. We didn't get a chance to get one aired on in November due to the busy month. But we are here today, and I have two guests here with me. I'll have them introduce themselves, and maybe one of you can go ahead and start with a one of your reports that you need to get out, and then the other one take over back and forth. Okay, and everyone, this is a call-in show, so if you have any questions for my guests, please call in. The phone lines are 907-543-5985, 907-543-2756, 1-800-995-8954. There's also a email line, kyuk.org. Taukut line at kaya gagulichi up yutin kakufchi pinnachi. I'll have to start with you. Introduce yourself and that, all that good stuff.
Koyana Sam, good afternoon, everyone. This is Therese Vicente, the Policy and Programs Director with the Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission. Happy to be back on Fish Talk.
And this is Sam Decker. I'm with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. I'm the Kuskokwim Area Management Biologist, and it's very good to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. We haven't seen you since I don't know when.
The end of my season was in August, so yeah. I'm glad I came back. The weather is wild down here.
No kidding. We were also supposed to be flying out, checking out how the river is doing out there, but we haven't gotten a chance. Hopefully we will, because we're going to be airing the river trail condition tomorrow as well. So maybe I'll have one of you start with the report. Anyone?
Okay, I can start. So this is Sam Decker with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. We just had our Board of Fish meeting, which happens every 3 years for the Arctic, Yukon, and Kuskokwim areas. It was back in November, right at the end of November before Thanksgiving. And Therese was able to come up to Fairbanks for that meeting, which was awesome. And so we had three proposals that were about the Kuskokwim area. One of them was a proposal from the department to add eel sticks as legal subsistence gear. And so that one passed. And so now under our regulation 5AAC-01270 about lawful gear, gear specifications, and operations, for fish other than salmon, the gears will include set gill net, drift gill net, beach seines, fish wheels, pots, long lines, fike nets, dip nets, jigging gear, spear, eel sticks, hook and line attached to rod or pole, hand line or lead. So it's every gear we can think of. And if folks have more they want to add, they should give us a call.
Slingshot.
Yeah. I think there was a proposal from another area to add bow and arrow.
Yeah.
Which I don't actually recall if that passed. Did you hear, Therese?
I don't know, but I do know that's a traditional gear used at least by people in Gwisluk. Some of the elders I've talked with there remember learning how to shoot or harvest king salmon with bow and arrow up the Gwisluk River.
Yeah, we used to do that when we were kids with pike too back home. So
yeah,
I don't know if it's still done, but it was part of subsistence harvesting.
Yeah, well, our purpose for adding eel sticks is that we know that it happens. People are harvesting eels with whatever gear they have available, whether it's those little dip nets or making their own, you know, fashioning it from willows or 2x4s or rakes. And so we wanted that to be in the regulations as allowable gear. The other two proposals that we had were from the department, and they were about sport fishing. And John Chithlook, our sport fish manager, proposed these ones. So one of them was to amend the sport fishing season for king salmon in the upper Kuskokwim River so that it would match the king salmon season on the lower Kuskokwim River, which is that king salmon may only be taken from May 1 through July 25th. And so that will be the same sport fishing regulation throughout the entire Kuskokwim drainage now. That one also passed. And then the last proposal was Proposal 14, and this was about shefish. It was about a regulation that said there were bag limits and possession limits for shefish in the bay on the Kinnecktock, Good News, and Aralic rivers. And we're not sure why this regulation was in there. Probably there was a regulation about shefish that was made across the entire Kuskokwim management area, but there are no shefish in the Kinnecktock, Good News, or Aralic rivers. And so this will remove that language about shefish bag and possession limits on those rivers. So that's what we have.
Akut awa kalagot kli a proposal ata nutagat billet a akut fish gear at atuguyuk ngakput a ilaluki asanik bisguita a kubiyatun piaga put magutta pitakuluki naruskakuluki reikatun chanik asanik totna a atulas hitnik yut atuguluting am siaga gluting toy awai mai to matum nasini a akut kan rut khri a to pakan rita putta time toy illini pikkat kapi gakhlu ta khapilu ta pikum ta tamakut atuguluki piuk ngache kukut qaluluk totn qaluthun a pingnaqlhit managaluki rod and reel to tamakun ka atuguluting makunik nakknik ping a angusakhchut klalhit yu tamakunik awuluki pilinit a akunaltoi chali aipa makuttaqiqfit a manikuskuqfim illoni up and down the river May one ayakhluni. What was the ending date? July 25 aktkisuku kakuguluting manakayagat huntamako ni katuguluting pilgita ayukhlisuki up and down the Kuskokwim River totin toitaku maluni totpinga yor chaliuna makutjirit shifish unakwani taqluku pilkhumukhtu qanqanlhu yaqlini ta ukuk agalit kuin khakhmitlkui gatlu tapaqluk pi yaqlutin ungani lhutoi taimnalun ritaput kingunkhpnilhu tamakut itkautayutit kuiginun manitagum kusqoqpakhmi kuih pakmilu tama kuta cirit pilah tuta tama na awai akunik asahan kuihinik kutnu saksita paksuku akwas ko tama na toh tama ni piyu ilata tama kuta ilang su kutwani ko we have another guest here he came in a little late due to the weather. Introduce how certain spinnick and where you work.
Kuyana Sam Sakagumna Mutsungunakini Chikoklini to Takamus Alkamun Pioka Nuna Korsit Mokasa Chikum Mom Dusk.
Yeah,
Sapnakini to Pisk. Yeah. Kanhkaita kanhkaini ugutha khangoda khag new kantal to refi sam ktagoma uma twis twisam information all of the data.
Okay.
It's on her head. Christopher Tulik, supervising refuge information tech when you condol to refuge.
Trish, you got anything to report to?
Sure, yeah, and thanks, Sam, for the rundown of the Board of Fish meeting. The first thing I want to share, it's maybe a bit of a deviation from Fish Talk, but in the last couple weeks, we've been meeting with some partners here in Bethel at Bethel Community Services Foundation and Alaska Sea Grant and the city, as well as AVCP, to organize a traditional foods drive for families affected by the typhoon that happened a couple months ago. There's over 50 families that got evacuated to Bethel from Quigg and from Kipnuk, and then a lot of other families in other villages around the YK Delta who, you know, had pretty severe flooding and lost their freezer stores full of subsistence foods they'd worked really hard to harvest this last year. So we're trying to organize an effort kind of similar to what the Alaska Native Heritage Center and Tribal Health Consortium in Anchorage are doing for all the displaced families in Anchorage, where they've been receiving traditional subsistence foods of all kinds and distributing them to evacuees. So right now we're receiving donations here in Bethel, and we're hoping to be able to distribute them before Christmas time, both to evacuated families here in Bethel, but also ship them out to families in the villages who have been impacted. So I just wanted to share about that. I think we'll be back here at KYUK for coffee tomorrow morning to share more. But if you're interested, you can go to cuscosalmon.org/news, and we have a post on there with more information about, you know, how to donate food and what kind of foods folks are looking for, or how to sign up to get on our distribution list if you're in the villages. Or you can give me a call at 545-7388 or email donations@kritfc.org. I guess it could relate to Fish Talk because we've been trying to share the word with partners around the state, and there's some partners in Southeast Alaska, the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association, who since the salmon crashes, especially on the Yukon, have been working to buy salmon from commercial vessels and be able to distribute it to tribes and villages around. So they're donating a bunch of salmon for this distribution effort, which is great. So it does relate to Fish Talk in that way. But on fish, right now, I think at our organization, the Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission, we're gearing up for more regulatory meetings this winter time. And most of those regulatory meetings are about the interception or bycatch of salmon in the ocean. So I have some numbers I can share for folks about salmon bycatch and harvest down in Area M. And then I can share a little bit, too, about some of the meetings that are coming up next February about these. But as of last week, we have the latest Bering Sea bycatch numbers from the Pollock trawl fishery. They kind of paused collecting those numbers during the government shutdown, but I think they're all caught up now. And the pollock fishing season is over until January of 2026. But this last year in 2025, the trawlers caught as bycatch 19,700 king salmon and 151,000 100 chum salmon. Those are total numbers, but the genetic information we have from that bycatch tells us about 50% of all the king salmon caught and 20% or so of all the chum salmon caught are from Western Alaska rivers like the Kuskokwim, but also the Nooshigak, the Yukon, lots of rivers in Norton Sound and up in Kotzebue. But we've been, you know, to prepare for these meetings, we've been looking back in time to try to think about how, you know, we call it cumulative effects, all these, you know, removals of salmon over time, how they build and prevent our rivers and people from getting spawners and food back. So since 2011, like about the last 15 years, Bering Sea pollock trawlers have taken 114,000 king salmon and 615,000 chum salmon from Western Alaska rivers, like specifically from those, our genetic stocks. That's our best estimate. So that's in the Bering Sea. The other fishery and area we keep an eye on because it impacts fish coming back to the Kuskokwim and other Western Alaska rivers is the South Alaska Peninsula fishery, which people mostly call Area M. So down in Area M, it's done by Dutch Harbor and False Pass, right below the Aleutian chain. There's chum salmon and also Chinook salmon from Western Alaska that migrate through that region and are caught, but also sold by fisheries down there because they are allowed to sell those fish they intercept. This last year, at the end of June, which is the key time for Western Alaska chum salmon migration, Area M fishermen had harvested and sold 165,000 chum salmon. And then at the end of the season, they had harvested and sold 13,600 king salmon. And right now, the genetic data we have tells us that about 20% of the total harvest of chum and Chinook are from Western Alaska rivers. So similarly, going back, you know, over the last 15 years or so, we estimate that Area M fishermen have harvested 20,500 Western Alaska king salmon and 1.3 million Western Alaska chum salmon. So kind of combining these two areas together, Area M south of the Alaska Peninsula and then the Bering Sea pollock fishery, since 2011, we estimate that 135,000 king salmon and 1.9 million chum salmon from Western and Interior Alaska rivers have been taken out of the ocean by those fisheries. So that's, it's kind of astounding to look at those numbers and think, you know, people in our rivers are really begging for even a single fish to come back and keep our stocks going. It's not, you know, these fisheries are not the only cause of salmon declines. There's a lot going on with our changing climate and, you know, food webs are shifting in the Bering Sea and there's erosion happening in our rivers and pollution, all these things. But the one we have the most control over and we can advocate for really is, you know, reductions of the impacts of these fisheries.
Yeah.
So I'll leave it there.
Coming back to that, the fish that they date back, the data on what has been caught, those are just rough estimates of what has been harvested since 2011 for king salmon and also for chum. Do you have any on the reds and the silvers?
That's a really good question. In the Bering Sea, the pollock trawl fishery mostly catches Chinook and chum if they catch salmon bycatch. They report it as Chinook and non-Chinook salmon bycatch. but 99.9% of the non-Chinook bycatch is chum. So they catch very few sockeye and coho salmon from what their data tell us. On the Area M side, those fisheries are primarily targeting sockeye salmon and also pink salmon, and they catch some silver salmon as well. I don't know that we have genetic data to be able to tell us how many of the, you know, sockeye and silvers they catch down there could be from Western Alaska rivers like the Kuskokwim or Yukon. I hear often from folks in Chignik that, you know, they're mainly sockeye salmon rivers. And a lot of their sockeye salmon that are migrating through the Area M fishery zone on their way to Chignik rivers, they're intercepted by those mm-hmm. fisheries. But I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, and I don't think there's genetic data.
Yeah, and with those sockeyes that are so few in numbers that are being intercepted by these trawlers, maybe that explains why there is abundant of sockeye here in the Kuskokwim.
920,000 sockeye last year in 2025. Yeah,
that was quite a number. Those meetings are going to be in Anchorage, yeah? Or out of state?
In Anchorage, so the North Pacific Fishery Management Council holds its meeting first from February 2nd through the 11th, and they do stream their meetings online, and you can testify remotely by phone or by computer. The Board of Fish meeting that will discuss Area M fisheries is February 18th through the 24th, also in Anchorage, and you can watch it online, but you cannot testify remotely at this time. I think unless you're the chair of your local advisory committee. Is that correct, Sam?
There were a few exceptions that were made at this last one for people who had travel lined up, and then because of the issues with travel in remote areas, the travel fell through at the last minute, and they took three testimonies over the phone.
Yeah, from AC chairs, I think.
I believe so. Okay. Maybe.
As far as I know, the public cannot testify remotely at Board of Fish meetings at this time. I did hear some calls at the Arctic Yukon Kuskokwim meeting to be able to open that opportunity up, which if it could, that'd really help people to not have to travel, you know,
and
three flights to get to Anchorage.
Stream more.
The idea, I guess, would be to be able to call in to testify to the Board of Fish, so you wouldn't have to travel, you know, all the way to Anchorage for your 3 minutes.
Yeah. Chris, do you have any questions on what you're hearing here?
No.
Do you have anything else to add to what was being reported?
I would like to add that this is Sam Decker with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. For folks who are interested in going to Anchorage to testify at that Board of Fish meeting, we have a new format for testifying. Those people who are nominated by their community, their tribal council, their city council representing their community, we have an expanded time limit for traditional knowledge. So if folks would like to give a 10-minute personal testimony about traditional knowledge to the Board of Fisheries, they need to sign up 3 days before the meeting. And I think we posted on the Cusco Fishing ADF&G page on Facebook, we posted the information about how to do that before the November meeting, and we can repost that. Maybe in January we'll repost that so that folks have it. But if you are giving traditional knowledge to the Board of Fisheries, then you can sign up and you can get 10 minutes to do that presentation.
Mm-hmm. Aku mi awa kuyuk lutung pikata my testify akhlutin bilh kaktaw na iking kanri doktokom tau certain areas certain villages maybe will have the opportunity tau na bilh kak tau could represent akhluki bikufki tau na iking kauk maku niklu khangkuta pingnakut khluki khapilalput awak naya khluting kanrutkumai khungaluting up to 10 minutes. Yeah, time ila maluni for native knowledge of makunik unang nakutumtnika ako kutlo away at unani tot nuguni pilu kipilhi takayakfi chang taita time 17,000 kiluku chuk chuk liko kilu kipilhi makutlo chums what was that number 151,000 Chipsukutaima, Totten Jali Bima looting Ut Kingut Munsu Ut shooting Tung Hog, Tait Ochgut 2011 Nakt Gisuku, Awai number at Kanut Kriakayum Yok Sigatanka, Ugut 2011 Nami, where are they? The numbers, the estimate numbers.
For king salmon, 114,000, 615,000 chum in the Bering Sea, and then in area 1.3 million chum and 20,500 king salmon.
Yeah, okay. Oh, I number at time. At git khit a tai tai ga kaut git ta kaulutin khokugnun makunun kaullutin bagkat bagkau yaqlat mab kusqpagumun kuih pagumun northern sound awani lu ungalaqliq yatini sawani tammabta bilri totin atang khogut khluki bilhui time toy apitung kufji unakwani Carlin Soro Carlin Nagaluji, we'd like to hear what you have in mind. Chris, you have something to say.
So those total estimates that you mentioned there are figures within the last 15 years?
Yes.
Yeah. Plus het lot niet ook de zoek daaruit tot 15 years
estimate guess tot een pitaka per
maar dat ga ik om het touwtje me als ga ik om bifknaar niet om 15 als ga ik dit lot
sinds 2011
ja
down het dooi ging het moen tang khogut khluku akunappata taim toy apit lipelakhia kakutakama arin katuk una time akputlu ikhitchomi
ap khilagu
ikitaki.
So the next BOF meeting that is coming up, so what about the written testimonies? Would that be allowed? I mean, will that be open?
Yes, the on-time public comments, that is still, you can mail those in or email those in, and there'll be a due date for that, usually a couple of weeks before the meeting.
Would that be open to any public member?
Everyone, yes. Okay. Yes, that's a very good reminder. I'll write that down, that we can repost that as well for those upcoming. There's several more Board of Fish meetings that are coming up for different regions in January, February, and March.
Oh, ako na siyo, traditional food strive una umik pag kanot ko kasput na siyo yago chaksi na ka magunun ang kasuk suting nunat pilrit ukuka ipnak gugiling oksu display sa kluting pilrit mabot
We have a caller online. Makin mamtrilchnika Ivan. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, all of you. Yeah, I heard the fact. No doubt about it. Bycatch, interception. Those two keywords. No doubt about it, that's the problem for Arctic and Yukon and Kutukum River salmon. Why I say that, as a teenager, Arctic, Yukon and Kutukum delegates, at this time of year, used to go anchored, board a fish, and fight for fish escapement. And it worked. And we had commercial fishing back then, that's how come it worked. You know what's the problem in fishing game, state and federal. And why are me and my people on restrictions again? In mine, the Typhoon Halong victims, I think there should be, you're taking proposals. There should be emergency orders to open up salmon fishing for them. Why? Most of their smokehouses and fish racks and all their freezers with the subsistence and food gathering they did, it's all gone. There's an emergency order right there. With no restrictions, let them get their food back again and get ready for next winter's food shorts. Enough said, then that's what that should be number one priority. I don't know if they lost most of their homes and inside with their freezers, that's all gone. And even their, I heard of their fish racks and smokehouses. Smokehouses with their food inside them and what they most of them keep in storage like me. And their freezers too. That's all gone. So there should be a proposal, emergency order to no restrictions and let us fish and fill our freezers up. And get ready for next year's winter. And on this, second, this number two, that look like it's a green light on and down on gold mine. You know what? Of all the fishing and everything that Department of State of Alaska and Federal Fish and Game, my opinion, if that dam breaks, there'll be no more jobs, period. No more food. You know, I watched National Geographic on disasters in Brazil, the Amazon jungle, poison, people, two dams broke and all that poison. Dam poison. And it's going to be a big lick, that poison that mines if it opens up. And that will happen here on the Kuskokwim. No doubt about it. And you mentioned the Yukon Delta Wildlife Refuge, where all the birds' nests and everything, that's going to be a touch too, all the way to the bay. Okay, I had my say, and good afternoon, and think of our people that are evacuees from that typhoon. I know they're going to try to come back, and I know they're going to rebuild and they're going to go after fish. In my opinion on that, no restrictions on subsistence fishing. Okay, thank you. Good afternoon.
Iye ko yan ay look. Ako na makin kaya gawtok ka makunik restriction na ni kopilu ni ako tinatawag uksu mi sa manaktay to ko na ni but I think he's talking about the upcoming spring, like when salmon start coming up.
That was rivers. Kind of how I took it to mean too. Mm-hmm. This is Sam Decker with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. So about a week after Typhoon Halong hit the western coast of Alaska, I did put out a post on our Facebook page just reminding people that when the state is the agency that is managing the fisheries, we default open for subsistence. And so when the management of the Kuskokwim area was turned back over to the state, we went open with all the legal gears for all of the legal fish. And so there are no fishing restrictions right now. That does not mean that there are salmon in the river right now. And next year, if there is another federal special action, as there has been for the last 12 years, then the state will not be the one making the openings and closings for fishing here. That will be the Fish Commission in cooperation with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And so I urge you to reach out to your Fish Commission in-season managers and let them know what's on your heart.
Yeah, maybe even our representatives and the government representatives that are representing the state of Alaska, we might be able to help.
But the state of Alaska is not in control of the fishery on the lower river during the salmon season.
Even so, we can get a word out. And have them maybe say a word or something to our governing bodies of the state. We don't know what's going to happen. Do you have anything to add?
Well, I'll just say, Goyana, to our caller, it's always good to hear your thoughts and I can't speak for our in-season managers and what will happen next year, but I know the refuge often will go around and speak with different tribes in the wintertime and talk about the fishery. We talk about it through the winter, you know, and plan for the next year. And the goal of co-management between our tribal in-season managers and Yukon Delta Refuge is always to meet escapement goals and, you know, get spawners up to the spawning ground so we can rebuild runs, but also to prioritize local rural subsistence. And we try to provide as much subsistence opportunity as possible while also balancing, you know, wanting to protect salmon so they keep coming back into the future. So I don't think our management strategy in that way will change next year. And I really hope that all the salmon will come back in abundance next year so there can be lots of opportunity for people to go out and get fish for the freezer or for smokehouses. And I think with the emergency orders that came out too after the typhoon, you know, some of the disaster funds that came can help people rebuild their homes, but also their smokehouses and their fish racks and other things that are super necessary for subsistence. So I don't have all those details. I know the Association of Village Council Presidents has done a good job compiling resources on their website, and some of those like FEMA application deadlines are coming up this month, I think. So yeah, folks still need to fill those out to try to, you know, get some funds to rebuild. Mm-hmm. You should definitely get those in soon. That's what I'll add.
Krista ilayukutin. Akukut awai iban na kalakaluni pilkmini unani nakpilgit ma khatnukuk awai kiyukka kiyukka khani khanikpak. There is no restrictions on what can be harvested fish-wise. And I know that people that didn't get the opportunity to harvest a moose has been extended from the mouth of the Kaskokwim Kamkutkalskekarmitkilukipilyuka, Chris. Dwatenbuk?
Sam, I'm going to ask one of them, because
Sam, yeah. Can you give me a little bit about that information? I know it's off the record with fish, but
it's food related. It's food, yes. So, so there was an extra season opened up from the state of Alaska, and that was posted on our Facebook page as well. I'm not a wildlife person, but it was in response to the meat that was lost from the freezers, because what we can offer right now is moose. We have lots of moose, and it's moose season. And so when there's no fish in the river, we know we can't replace the fish, but, you know, we can provide moose access. So there were a number of permits that were given out with the hopes that people who hadn't harvested a moose during this summer or during earlier seasons could go out and help fill those freezers for the winter.
And that the border lines are from the mouth of the Kuskokwim to how far up the river are we talking about?
I don't know. I would recommend if folks have questions about the moose hunt that they call 907-543-2433 and speak with one of our wildlife biologists, either Keith or Pat or Phil. They can help you out.
Is there a number of permits that are being issued out? Is there a limit?
There was a limit. I can't remember what it was, though. Do you remember, Chris? Okay. And I know there's a federal moose season that's open right now?
Not yet.
Okay. So... yeah, so there's still opportunity for moose.
When is that happening? On the federal lands.
Yeah, FM 1803 Moose Winter Hunt will open from December 12 through January 31.
Next week.
That's coming right up.
Zone 2 of Unit 18 on federal lands.
Yeah. And so, I know there's a lot of moose up on the Yukon as well. Yeah. Folks can get up there pretty easily. I have three friends who are up there right now hunting for moose. Mm-hmm. And that's an area where we're actually concerned about overpopulation of the moose. And the limit is 3 moose per person. And so if you're in need of moose and you have access to the lower Yukon area, please go harvest some moose there. That will keep that population from crashing as well.
Yeah, akut awai akuna una tun tuaknik pilu pikhelu tapiukutta because it's a part of a subsistence harvest. Nuk alakhlu tapingamta akuna ikikhluku pikit ma ikinkaq. Wakin kuskuk pimpangan kaltaim pitalram ka apatun rita takwam pit sailing out awai September ami ikhtlhane. There's a number of permits that were issued out down ipungaluni tortal government amat check un krisamawa chali pikalha December 12 pam ayakuluni chali ikikhtakh kauluni unit 2
Unit 18, Zone 2.
Zone 2. Unit 18, Zone 2. Jali ikhtak kauluni. Hawai jali samak piuk. Ma ikin kanilu ko kawani. Ikut ilai sutaim. Ikunik ngare. Ta iskum nilu ki pisukuluting. Tauna ikin kalre. Khatin kan kan khatikilu ko pa. Tamani tuntuit. Miku risiya giluting pilkhat. Pilkhat nikka piluting. Amshiwasak na yukluki tamani pilrit. Tamana ikin kalunipiuk. Krasalkat piluku. Ako natangkot kakaluku. At Yellowstone. There was a time when they took out the wolves and bears to save elk. And there was a crash on those deers due to no predators.
Overpopulation, and then they overgraze. And so one of the ways that we evaluate the risk for overpopulation of moose on the Yukon River is by looking at their primary food sources. And right now, those trees are being whittled down to nubs, and the moose have very little fat on them because they are starving.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that we're getting off course here, but I know that you two have more to make reports on what's happening with fish. One of you.
I this is Sam Decker with Fish and Game. I just wanted to say, too, regarding Ivan's comments about Typhoon Halong, and I was not here in Bethel during that time, so I can only imagine all of the activity that was happening around people with their initial response to rescuing people, coming together as a community, taking care of all of those people. I have two parallel careers. One is fisheries, which I'm deeply dedicated to from my family history and super proud of where I am now. The other is in emergency response. And so I have done everything from search and rescue and remote medical work. So I can imagine what it looked like here. And I know that both the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Alaska Department of Fish and Game have loaned vehicles and bunkhouses out to the crews who are coming out to respond to that. So I would like to acknowledge everything that this community has been through, and the way that, you know, watching from afar how this community has gathered together to do this traditional foods drive. I know the one in Anchorage has been happening. There's also one in Fairbanks for the families who've relocated to Fairbanks. Ways of sharing those foods that make your soul feel better. The dried meat, the dried fish, fish eggs, things like that. So I just wanted to acknowledge all of that and say how hard I know the agencies, the people have been working towards helping all of those people.
Thank you. Tris, do you have we're kind of running out of time here.
I know, I'm looking at our clock. This has all been really good conversation. And I just wanted to circle back to bycatch and Area M harvest of salmon and give a snapshot of what the North Pacific Fishery Management Council and the Board of Fish we'll be discussing for those two fisheries in February. So on the federal side with the North Pacific Fishery Management Council, they are looking to take final action on chum salmon bycatch management in the Bering Sea pollock fishery. So there's five alternatives on the table right now, and the council is basically looking at choosing one or a combination of some of these alternatives to hopefully reduce chum salmon bycatch in that pollock fishery. And high level, what the alternatives are number one, status quo, keep everything as it is, that has to be in these sorts of federal analyses. Alternative two is to set a cap on chum salmon bycatch. So if that cap was hit, if, you know, across all the different vessels in that trawl fishery, if they caught up to that number of chum salmon, they'd be shut down for the rest of the year. And there's a range of numbers that a cap could be chosen from, as low as 100,000 chum salmon up to as high as 550,000 chum salmon, but only one number would be chosen for a cap. So that's alternative two. Alternative three is just about the same, except that it would a cap would be linked to abundance of chum salmon returns in Western Alaska rivers. So if there's, you know, quote-unquote high abundance of chum, if it exceeded a threshold that set, there would not be a cap in place the following year. But if the abundance thresholds were not met, then there would be a cap the following year. So that's alternative three. Alternative four would add six requirements for the pollock trawlers to follow every year to avoid chum salmon bycatch. It'd put them in regulation so they would not be able to not do them, if that makes sense. Since 2022, the trawlers have actually been doing these six things. They were asked by the council to step up and do more to avoid chum bycatch. So they said, okay, here's the six things we're going to do. And now alternative four basically proposes to make those requirements, not optional things for the fleet to do. And then alternative five attempts to set up a in-season corridor. It basically looks at this area of a high concentration of where Western Alaska specific chum salmon are caught. It's right above the Alaska Peninsula, just west of Bristol Bay. That's where we mostly see the trawlers catching Western Alaska chum. So it proposes to put a cap in that area between June 10th and August 31st. And if that cap was met, then no trawling could occur in that area specified. And there's a couple options there for a bigger area or a smaller area. So the council will be, you know, hearing basically an analysis of all those alternatives, how they might affect the pollock fishery, how they might affect chum salmon and chum salmon people. We helped contribute some information for that because our Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission has been a cooperating agency in this analysis. So has Tanana Chiefs Conference, and so has the Department of Fish and Game. So it's been a big group effort to get this analysis completed. But the North Pacific Council will be hearing staff reports on that analysis, on those alternatives, taking public testimony on those alternatives and what folks want them to do, and getting written comments too in the new year. Then later in February, when the Board of Fish meets to discuss Area M proposals, they'll be hearing a couple sets of different proposals. There's some that propose different there's some that are for the June fishery management plan in Area M. There's 11 proposals for changes to the June fishery management plan. Most of them actually ask to reduce fishing time by Area M fishermen then. And that June time is when we see most Western Alaska chum salmon get caught in Area M. So there's 11 proposals on the table right now. And we're working with a lot of folks to try to figure out if there's the best proposal for Board of Fish. Same with North Pacific Council, if there's, a best alternative. So if folks have more questions about that, I encourage you to reach out. Our number is 545-7388. We also have some information online, and we'll keep our web page with information about these two meetings as up to date as we can with more information. So you can go to cuscosalmon.org/news and learn more.
We're coming down to about 5 more minutes. Sam, do you have anything that you need to throw at our listeners too before we do our closing remarks here?
No, nothing further from me, just that I hope everyone has a good holiday season and stays safe with all of the ice on the roads and still open water on the rivers. So I hope everyone stays safe.
Yeah, right now it's our roads that are, even our vehicles, even Chris's vehicle was packed with ice. Chris, kajamka ila kriyuhtunini. I have something to throw at you guys. What do we know about Yellowfin and the fleets that are going after Yellowfin?
Yellowfin sole.
Yeah. Yellowfin sole.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear a little bit about that. Maybe a minute from you, 2 minutes, 2 minutes. Okay.
So
traditional knowledge.
So yellowfin sole are a flatfish, kind of like halibut. You know, they lay on the ocean floor, and they are caught in the Bering Sea by bottom trawlers. So big nets towed behind big boats that intentionally scrape the bottom of the ocean because that's where they scoop up their fish. There's a fleet called, they call themselves the Amendment 80 Fleet, that refers to a regulation at the North Pacific Council in a NOAA fisheries that established them. But they, yeah, they're the bottom trawlers for yellowfin sole in the Bering Sea. It's a pretty dirty fishery. It's responsible for most halibut bycatch. Yeah. They catch tons and tons of halibut bycatch. And they are the ones that folks on the coast can see, like, their lights from, you know, way offshore. Yeah. You'll see lights from the trawlers. It's usually those yellowfin sole trawlers. I just heard this morning, actually, there's someone in Bristol Bay area.
They're up who, there.
Yeah, they're there at the same time. Bristol Bay fishermen and, you know, their skiffs and luns are setting and drifting for sockeye. So that's a little snapshot of that fishery, but yeah.
Sam?
I don't know anything about that fishery. That's a federal fishery. More than 3 miles off the coast is federal waters.
Okay. Chris, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, magad yellowfin sole ta yuhtina unani kwa kanani kaluyani natakanakanana kaplagapt. Amlhpagnating illait snawatit unakaklugi siu.
We are out of time. Until the next time we do a report again, Koyanakwa Kalas Kluaguna, Koyanakwa Nichuniluchi, Biuchi.